Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I went to Notting Hill in London this week.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah.
Was it like the film?
I didn't see Hugh Grant.
Oh, I love her Hugh Grant. And How about Julia Roberts?
No, I didn't see Julia Roberts. In fact, I saw some dog feces on the floor.
Nice.
I did think to myself, you say it best when you say nothing at all.
Dear, whatever dear it is right now. Time. Whatever time it is right now. Here's Luke.
Hello.
She's Lucy.
Hello.
This is Luke and Lucy FM. What's on this week's episode?
It's the one where we are moody about moods. We're chatting all things moods to how you change your mood from good to bad. Some of the things that you can buy to enhance your mood. We're talking some of the biggest moods that you can go in. Some of the moods we went in. And TV's Emma got cut off. Cut off there. And we have got TV psychologist Emma Kenny returning to Luke and Lucy FM. She's coming up in a bit. Hello.
I hope she's got some juicy gossip about some celeb moods.
Moods, oh, that'd be good, right?
That would be good.
We're going to ask her. I don't think she can disclose. I think it's patient confidentiality.
Yeah, maybe just say there was this one.
Yeah, there was this one celebrity, H. Grant, who... exactly. I don't think she has him as a client anyway. Hello.
He's been a bit moody with Paps, hasn't he?
He's moody anyway, I think. Yeah. Hello, welcome to Luke and Lucy
FM.
Having
all that money.
I can't even do the introduction here, Lucy, because you're too busy worried about Hugh Grant.
I used to fancy him when I was little.
Haven't we all fancied Hugh Grant?
To be fair, there's something about him. I know he's not typically good looking, but there's something about him.
We're not here to talk about Hugh Grant. This is not the official Hugh Grant podcast.
Should we make it like that?
No, we're not making it the official Hugh Grant podcast. This is Luke and Lucy FM.
It would have been great if him and Julia Roberts...
Stop talking about Hugh Grant.
Okay.
We discuss a different topic that isn't Hugh Grant each week on Luke and Lucy FM. And I'm Luke Marsden. And a true fact about me is whilst I was in Notting Hill this week, I tried coffee Prosecco for the first time in my life. Coffee Prosecco. Do you know how that works?
I bet it's disgusting.
Glass of Prosecco, 2 coffee beans in the bottom.
Slight
hint of bitterness. It was basically a Prosecco version of me.
Was it nice?
I loved it, to be honest.
Was it?
Other people.
I don't like coffee, though, so I probably hate it, right?
Other middle-class toffs that were around me were not liking it. I drank 5 glasses and got blathered off it.
Okay, amazing. Yeah. Did you have to pay for the bowl?
No, all pro gratis, Spanish for free.
Awesome.
It was good. I really enjoyed it.
Was it some event or something?
It was a very, very fancy event. Oh, and I cannot name the company because they don't pay to sponsors. If Nespresso are listening right now and you want to sponsor Luke and Lucy FM, just tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. Lucy Hilton, what's a true fact about you?
True fact about me is, I suppose this week is the first time in about 5 years I've been to the theatre.
Oh, really? Oh, darling.
Yeah,
what did you see
darling,
at the theatre?
I watched Funny Girl with Sheridan Smith.
Was it funny?
Really, really good. Yeah, it was good. She was amazing.
So it was, as it said on the can, it was funny.
Like a funny girl.
That was the idea.
She's so much different though in real life. You know when you imagine someone and then you see them on stage and you're just like, it's nothing like I would have imagined.
Did you meet
she's
her?
Tiny? No, I just saw her on stage.
Oh, that
doesn't count.
But she's
like really short and I thought she would be taller. She's so cute though.
You know, Lucy.
Amazing actress.
We wanted to talk about...
You can
stop talking about Sheridan Smith. This is an official Sheridan Smith podcast as well. but you know what? Actually, it's quite fitting that you're doing all this because what you're doing, Lucy, is putting me in a mood. You're enraging me. And this is what Lucy does on almost a weekly basis during Luke and Lucy FM. And we want to discuss moods, basically.
I think I make you happy every week.
I don't think the happy mood is what it is.
You're ecstatic right now. Even your hair's standing on end.
My hair's standing on end because I washed it last night. My hair's erect for that reason.
I've never seen it that bad.
Yeah, it's bad. It is bad. But you know what? Then think about, that's a prime example, right? You have a bad hair day, it puts you in a bad mood.
It does. That is so true.
Like this week.
I've had a bad hair day for the last week and I've just been in a mood.
You've had a bad hair day for your past life.
Excuse me.
But on a serious note for you though, Lucy, does, for example, something as trivial as having a bad hair put you in a mood?
Oh yeah, 100%. If I go out the house not feeling 100% about myself, I'll be in a bad mood all day.
Seriously?
Until I get back home and get in my comfy pants.
And that puts you, what are those, like leggings, jeggings?
Yeah, just comfy pants, chill out on the sofa. No one can see me.
Yes, thank God. And that's the thing though, Lucy, because a mood, I mean, it's hard to probably define exactly what a mood is, but I imagine it is just something that is, it's a psychological effect on your body. It's not a physical effect, a mood, is it? And like, I'd say most people have a neutral mood, you know, the mood that they're in normally, that's the personality, that's who they are.
Yeah.
But then you have highs and lows. But maybe these days, I think there's too many people and too many things that cause highs and lows.
Like, such as?
Well, for example, I've been in an absolutely foul mood this week just because of some off comments that some people had made to me.
I know what they said. Well, you don't tell me this. Yeah, so you are right, chicken.
No, I mean, thank you for pretending to care, Lucy. But it's just like, you know, just some of my colleagues and they weren't, you know, they weren't particularly pleasant to me at the beginning of the week.
Well, go on. It was, share the wealth.
I don't want to slag them off, but it was a case of I can't even remember the context now. But they said something, and it wasn't as motivational. It wasn't as happy as it could have been. It was more
it
of
like
a negative
you
spin.
Rubbish at your job.
Yeah, pretty much. I know. And they.
I don't think you're that rubbish.
Thank you.
Just
that
a little
rubbish,
bit.
That's great. but it really, really, really affected my mood. Like I really, for the entire day, was in a foul mood. Because. You don't. It doesn't just affect you, though, does it, if you're in a bad mood?
No.
Because
no,
it affects those around you.
Those who love you.
They're the ones who bear the brunt the most.
Exactly, and they're upset that you're upset, and then it just escalates, and then they fall out with you, and
then they kind of... So, I mean,
the end of the world.
Can you remember a time when you've been in the happiest mood you've ever been in, and then the lowest mood?
Yeah.
Okay, go on. So give an example of when you was in a really happy mood.
So, for example, when I got a new job, I was ecstatic. Or at Christmas. Christmas is the ultimate happy mood.
Why, though? Like, isn't that just because everybody's drunk?
Well, everyone's drunk, everyone's got presents, everyone's loving life, you're with your favourite people in the whole world.
So nobody can really get kind of moody at Christmas, maybe?
Well, unless you're, I suppose, on your own at Christmas, then I would 100% be in a mood.
Do you
but
want
other in... than that, I don't see why people would.
What about one of the worst moods you've ever been in and why?
I was thinking the other day, so on Thursday when I went to the cinema, got in a bit of a mood, and you know when you're just thinking, why am I in such a bad mood?
You can't shake it off, yeah?
I think alcohol sometimes puts you in a mood.
It's a depressant, though, most of the times, alcohol, isn't it?
I'd had, like, a couple of glasses of wine, and I just went in the worst mood.
Really?
Yeah. And then, so I didn't drink for a bit, and then I was fine again.
And it's always the people that are closest to you, the ones that lash out and feel the wrath of your mood.
Exactly. It because probably was someone, probably had said something and annoyed me, and I didn't realise, but then alcohol made it worse.
It's amazing how just one off comment could throw you off kilter for the entire day, or even longer. I mean, you know, if you're like me and hold grudges, you won't speak to these people again, or, you know, wish death upon them. I mean, if you.
Too far.
Like, if you think about it, Lucy, as well, though, like, you and I see each other on a weekly basis, and I'd say we're in very similar moods constantly with each other.
Me
aggravated, you kind of tired. But it's tired a mood, but maybe it is, you know. Maybe
You can be tired of life.
You're tired of life. I mean, there's certain, I mean, this might not go down too well, but there is obviously certain times of the month. When
stop.
No, I'm just saying
this is so untrue
that what you would put you and a certain your
this
species
is my species
would be more moody than other times.
Well, not in the case of me.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
I do.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
I think I'm constantly in a good mood.
You try to be. I think you put on a front, but that's the thing, you have to put a front on for
this
most
is
people.
True. Well, yeah, when you're at work and things like that. This is why a lot of people handle moods differently. Like, you get some people, and not naming any names, but I think men. Like,
when they're
in a mood, they make sure everyone knows that they're in a mood. Like, everyone is subject to their wrath.
That is funny,
however,
Lucy, because I feel the exact same way about women.
Well, I think women are less likely so. They're more considerate of other people's feelings. So if they're in moods, they'll just be polite and maybe excuse themselves and go and be in a mood on their own.
No,
they
I don't think so.
Inflict it on other people.
I think when a woman is in a mood, you see the full true effects of that wrath of a woman's mood. You see every little bit of emotion that they're thinking.
Maybe, like, I'm guessing you're on about your girlfriend here.
No. Actually, Phoebe becomes mute when she's in a mood.
Does she?
She doesn't talk, which is
the
worst.
Same, to be fair.
Yeah, Yeah, so you are literally the worst people.
I don't think so.
I'll list some of the moods that people can go in. You can become in a bored mood, a calm mood, a chaotic mood, a chilled mood. You can be in a dorky mood, a devious mood, a hungry mood, a jealous mood. Have you ever been in a numb mood, Lucy?
What's a numb mood?
Well, you just feel numb all the time.
Yeah, I guess so.
Have you ever felt satisfied, mood-wise?
Yeah, suppose so.
Weird?
Always weird.
Always weird. That's a weird thing, is though. People genuinely are in weird moods. It's like you don't know what to take it, you don't know what day it is.
Yeah.
How do you feel about these whole products you can buy? Like, for example, mood candles.
Oh, yeah, I don't believe
in them. No, that's nonsense.
Like,
you'd buy into this.
It's just a money-making thing.
Is it?
What are the mood candles going to do? Is it just the smell of them? It's supposed to put you in a good mood?
Let me give you a list of mood candles and what it's supposed to do. Lime and black pepper. What mood would that put you in? A lime and black pepper candle, Lucy.
Probably like a hungry mood.
Happy mood, apparently.
Happy? Oh, really? I thought with pepper it'd be like hungry.
Rock rose and pink pepper, whatever any of those things are. What mood would that put you in, Lucy?
Cozy.
You sniff that candle, it'll put you in a lovely mood.
Ooh.
And wait for this one. Vanilla, musk and lavender. What mood would that put you in, Lucy?
Lavender's quite relaxing, I
think. So a relaxing mood.
Relaxing.
Dreaming mood. And all these candles can be bought. I'm not going to plug the website.
You put lavender on your pillow, don't you?
Nobody does that as well. £25 each, those candles.
I've done it a couple of times.
Could you pay £25 to get you in a good mood?
No.
You know what you need, Lucy?
What you need is you just need to go out with your friends, get a bottle of Prosecco, chill your badass.
And just really, yeah, maybe.
And you'll be in a good mood then.
That's your tip for ways of improving a mood. But there's actually some scientific ways of improving moods, Lucy, right? For example, shopping smart. If you're broke, you're going to be in a bad mood all the time because you have no money.
This is true. So this is me right now.
So you need to get these tips, Lucy. So shop smart. That'll put you in a better mood. Another one is do a good deed. If you're doing a good deed for others, it'll improve your mood. For example, Lucy, shop smart. So give me £30 or £40 and that'll put you do a good deed.
Because you're in dire need of 30 or 40
dire
pounds.
Need. If you want to send us money, tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. Flip through old photos and look at yourself when you were in better moods.
When you probably looked a bit better because you were a lot younger as well. That'll make you in a worse mood.
In that case, then you need to flip.
Because you realise how fat you've gone.
You need to flip through 10 years ago's photos to look when you were younger.
Oh, yeah.
And number four is, Lucy, lighten up the mood of your room. So if it's a really dark room, get some light in there, open some curtains, do light therapy, it's called.
That's the thing, so if you shut yourself in the in a room and it's dark and it's nothing's going
awful,
on.
Awful, sulky moods.
Yeah.
Number five, this is a good one. When anything good happens to you, write it down and you'll remember the good stuff. So, for example, Lucy, write this podcast down because it's the good stuff. And if you do think it is good, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. And number six, now, this is called the flow state. So just go with the flow, Lucy. Watch some TV, listen to some music, read a book. Just keep going. Go with the flow. Don't worry about moods. Do you go with the flow?
I do worry a lot, to be fair.
Well, in that case then, Lucy, right? Exercise. Really get those worries out of the way by doing some exercise. Now, I'm not on talking about other sort of exercise. Running, walking, get out there and do it. That'll improve your mood. Meditate. Maybe you fancy meditating.
That is true. I used to do yoga.
And then you give that up because you were sexually harassed by your yoga instructor, put you in a bad mood. Number nine, have some spiritual reflection. Seek solace in a higher power.
Okay.
Or not, if you don't believe in any of that. And the 10th one is probably a good one. And apparently this is one that can really improve your mood on a daily basis.
Go on.
Sing in the shower.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Every time I go in the shower and I'm tired and I'm grumpy, start singing Justin Bieber and all of a sudden...
Oh, God, that would put me in a dire mood.
Best mood ever.
That would put me in just an awful mood singing Justin Bieber.
That's probably because you've got an awful voice.
I think, thank you, Lucy. voice of an angel over there, Lucy Hilton. You know what? I think we need to learn a bit more about moods. I think we need to learn maybe some more psychology behind moods.
And we need to get some gossip about celebrity moods.
I'm thinking, Lucy, we just need to learn how you and I can just tolerate each other in better moods. Let's find out. Welcome back to a woman who last made her debut appearance on Luke and Lucy FM on episode 34, the one where we take the friendship test. Check that out. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. She helped us out then, and she's back on Luke and Lucy FM. On the phone now, TV psychologist Emma Kenny. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
Emma, thanks so much for coming back to us. Have you done any podcasts since the time you last came on ours?
Not podcasts, but lots of vlogs.
Oh, they don't count.
Where does your favourite podcast?
Yeah, they don't count.
The thing is, I just don't deal with anybody else, obviously. It's exclusively yours.
You want to say the word exclusive, Emma? You've said the word exclusive, so that's it. You've said it.
Exclusively yours.
Emma, so we've been talking about moods, and I think you might know a thing or two about moods, because I imagine that's a big deal with being a psychologist. How do you cope with your own moods around people that you have to kind of deal with moods? Is it all a bit much?
Well, I think that probably my husband is the one who has to deal with my moods. I'm not necessarily expecting that. It's quite a subjective experience. Mood level, I'm quite balanced. I don't really have that many bad moods. Or I would say I'm an optimist, and I would say I'm quite positive. So I tend to be able to reframe whenever I'm in a situation. So I don't really see emotions, just to put it quite deeply, I don't necessarily see emotions as good or bad. I just see them as prompts. So if I'm feeling negative, it's prompting me to be positive. If I'm feeling afraid, it's prompting me to be courageous. You know,
I use it in that way.
Jeez, you should bottle that. Have you thought about writing a book and selling it on that sort of stuff? That's Paul McKenna stuff, though.
Listen, I have been commissioned to write a book. But let me tell you, when you're that busy, it doesn't matter what the commission is, you've got no time. And it's one of those things. One day, yes, it's there. It's just, I have to actually write it.
Could you kind of like just tell someone all your thoughts and everything and then get them to write it?
Basically, Emma, Lucy's asking to be a ghostwriter.
Yeah, that's like the Zoella project, isn't it? Get somebody else to do all the hard work and then just reap the millions that come in.
Maybe I could do it and take a cut.
Oh, way up. There we go. Yeah, and I'll be the PR.
Generous. You can take a massive cut. Just do it for me. That'd be amazing.
So, Emma, tell us about some... So that was a really interesting thing you said, that you don't see emotions as that, you see them as all this sort of moods. So we were discussing earlier on in the episode about moods, and you know, Lucy and I have pretty neutral moods most of the time. Is that standard for most people? Is there such thing as neutral?
That's actually a positive position, because it means that you feel completely in check with yourself, so you're okay.
Yeah.
And feeling okay is really what everybody should aim for. Feeling the highs and lows are the problems. Like if you get incredibly high and then incredibly low, obviously that's an issue. But the great thing about having that kind of average neutral mood means that you very regularly can lift it. So, you know, when you're in the office, somebody will make you laugh and you'll lift in your mood automatically, because you're not dealing with anything deep-seated in that moment. So actually, it's really effective to have a neutral mood. But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't go out of your way to lift it regularly and in as many ways as possible, because feeling those bursts of happiness make our serotonin levels flow and help to reduce the nasty chemical cortisol, which is why people get really, really stressed. And actually, when you look at the statistics of laughter, we can see that most children are quite happy and quite in the present. And when you watch the way that they laugh very regularly, very freely, and very often without any real reason or hook. They just laugh because they're children.
Aww.
By the age of about 32, we reduce that percentage by about 80%. So we really need to work harder. We need to work harder at improving mood.
What kind of environment would you say you need to be in to kind of stay in that neutral or positive mood?
Bahamas.
Should we just move to Barbados?
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, what's ironic about mood is, let's say you win the lottery, everybody imagines that that's going to improve their mood.
Oh,
and actually, you'll only get a change.
Oh.
You'll only get a change for about 6 months.
Oh, really?
The same as you did.
Seriously?
So actually, mood is internally based, not externally experienced. So mood has very little to do with what you have and everything to do with what you do. So you have complete control. So it's a myth that if you are in a situation where you've got little money, that you can't be incredibly happy. And in fact, there are many examples of that. So mood, you have to transfer it from external locus and experiences around you and move it into internal control, which you have complete focus and control of that locus. And that means that you don't have to worry about anybody else. You can always contain it. When you said about how do I make sure that I'm in a positive environment, the most important thing is not to surround yourself with radiators, people who just drain you, not to allow yourself to stay in bad relationships because that brings you down, not allowing yourself to be in situations where you're bullied, because those kind of things environmentally are impactors on your experience. And even if you're very positive, they can erase the way that you feel. So you have to be willing to make shifts. And
I mean, I'll give you a prime example, Emma. I mean, I unfortunately had an experience with the London Underground this week, and somebody stood on my foot. They didn't apologise. They didn't do anything. And it literally enraged me.
You get enraged quite a lot.
I think I've got serious anger management issues. But honestly, I was so... And it really, for about a good hour, I was so stewing on this that it butchered my mood. It did. It completely crucified my mood.
Do you not think sometimes, like, say that example, someone stands on your foot. I think it's the way you feel in that day, though. Maybe if you're tired or something, it will affect you more and your mood will last longer than if you're not and you'll get over it quickly.
Sure. Everything's about reframing. So in that moment, to avoid that bitter, hostile respect, you know, reaction that you have.
No, I'm getting a lot of work, Em.
The seething old man-to-be problem that you're going to have.
Thanks, Em. That's how I get you back on.
that's what we'd call a heightened reaction to injustice on your part.
It was an injustice. You're totally right.
That's right. So you feel the world should have these all or nothings. Either you should, like, you know, be very apologetic or not get in somebody's way. And if you do get in somebody's way, to be incredibly willing to take responsibility. Well, the world doesn't work that way. Oh. And you're never going to have the world that way. And so if you walk around confronting the world that way, you're constantly going to get knocks and hits and disappointments.
That explains my life, Emma, to be honest.
Why we would work on reframing that. So reframing is a really simple context of just understanding that that person who stood on your foot firstly may have been thinking about a terrible situation that they're going through in their life, may not have even considered your feelings because they're dealing with some of their own immeasurably difficult ones.
Well, it's no excuse.
Yeah, but it's to let it go because the only thing it does, and that's the thing with mood, when you gather hostility because you don't feel that other people are operating in a way that you wish they would operate, then it means that you pay the consequences psychologically. So it's not that the person shouldn't have apologised. Yes, they should, but it's by the by, because they didn't. It's that you should let go of that pain and hostility because of the fact that it will hold on to you and hurt you. And you don't want that hour that you spent on a serious level on the tube seething about the fact that this person did that.
You're not going to see that person again, are you?
Am I not? Or have I tracked him down? So you never know.
That was it. That was the hour he spent. He spent getting their address, figuring out where their children went to school.
If they're listening right...
like the equaliser.
If they're listening right now, I followed him home, though I admit it.
That's right, absolutely.
You know, Emma, one of the things, and I said this to somebody this week and they agreed with it, do you not think in the summer months, even in this country when we do get some sort of warmth, people generally are in such a happier mood.
80% of people in the UK, pretty much in the Western world, they suffer from subsyndromal SAD, which is the moody blues, the winter blues.
Yeah, we've talked about that previously. Yeah, seasonal affective disorder.
That's it. So subsyndromal. So you don't have the full-blown mental health disorder that goes with it, but you have the small effects. So you want to eat lots of carbohydrates, bread. You want to do nothing. You feel lower in mood and you feel really exhausted. They're kind of quite common.
Describing Lucy.
Most people, as soon as the summer months come along, you suddenly get those weird feelings of hope.
Yeah.
Like people will recognise that sense. They'll go outside and it's like, I'm breathing in the fresh air and everything seems like I'm in a musical.
Everything's
that's
amazing.
That's the way it does. That's how it does it. And that's because your environment is changing, the logistics of your experience is changing, and of course the vitamin D amount that you're taking in is changing. And again, they're things that ironically you can control in the winter months. But again, the thing about human beings is, and this is both the beauty of them and the frustration of them, is that people like myself, we can put in front of them the evidence, the advice, the linear options that they have that will make their life a million percent easier, and they'll ignore them because human beings are individual and unique and often think that they're too busy to make changes. So it's a frustration because a lot of the things we're talking about, from mood right through to experiencing, like you just said, the lifts when we get into, they're all controllable, but people just don't make the time to do it.
I suppose it's the way you eat as well, isn't it? Like if you're eating rubbish all day every day, you're gonna feel awful, which will then make you moody.
Absolutely. If you stick to an alkali diet, for example, your life will change immeasurably. If you try to cut out dairy, for example, and stop eating as much meat, your life will improve immeasurably. But again, tell that to people who want to go to a fast food restaurant. You know, you can't make people change. You have to offer them options and then hope that they will. And with mood per se, that's a really interesting one because obviously I work in therapeutic work. So my job is to help people who are already motivated to make change, and it's a lot easier.
So you've got half the battles done for you in a way, because they're
willing.
I mean, Emma,
I like to think so.
Before we let you go and let you go off into a good mood, hopefully, we just, I mean, Lucy had a thing about celebrities.
Yeah, Yeah. Well, just have you ever worked with any celebrities that have been typically like more moody than the average person?
Oh, I've worked with lots of celebrities.
And do you think it's because of their ego that makes them like that?
I think it's to do with a lot of low resilience in celebrities, particularly in media celebrities. So, Luke, if I take you, for example, you're quite resilient by nature. You know, on a positive side, you're somebody who had your reality experience and you made good with it. You know, you didn't let it go. You made a career from it. Your personality is very resilient. You're humorous. You don't let the things that could hit you bring you down too much. And you've had opportunities through that reality experience that could have, but yeah, you've actually come out on top.
Oh, thanks,
Sarah. But it's quite rare. And you'll know it's quite rare because you probably read magazines.
Yes.
Probably the ones I write for.
I look at the statistics of suicide rates.
This is it. So actually, what you'll find are two different types of celebrity. You'll get the type of celebrity who, through talent and lots of hard work, have potentially reached potential success. Let's take Idris Elba. He's an individual who, very ordinary, amazingly talented, got discovered, works really hard, probably has a really high resilience rate. You can kind of see that with the work he's doing. But let's take a reality star who finds themselves an instant fame. They constantly feel afraid because they think it's going to disappear. And then let's take the automatic celebrity, the daughters and sons of very rich and wealthy celebrities. They, again, low resilience.
The Kardashians.
It's all on a plate. Absolutely, on a plate. Therefore, there's problems associated with it. So it's dependent on your external experiences and internal experiences and the kind of nutrients you've been given as a child growing up. And when I say nutrients, I mean emotional nutrients that set you in good stead to succeed or otherwise. So mood is something that a lot of celebrities need to work on because they have lots of yes people around them. They have lots of opportunities to self-medicate with things that aren't that positive around
them
from alcohol, drugs. And essentially, they're all mood changers. But the most important thing with mood is to realise that you are not completely without power. In fact, if you make certain changes, little steps, you can completely transform the way that you feel. And constantly work on that because it's something that can change with different external stimulus. And to put it in the final words, it's kind of like optimists go through exactly the same experience as pessimists. Exactly. We have the same tragedies, we have the same losses, we have the same fears, but we reframe them and we interpret them with a different perception. So we go through the same, but the impact that it has long term on us is minimal. And that's what's the difference between the positive and the negative person.
Wow. Emma Kenny, I mean, on that note, to sum up, it's like Michael Jackson. You've got to start with the man in the mirror is basically you're talking
about.
I feel like I'm going to be in a good mood for the rest of the weekend now.
Yeah,
and just, you know, the most important thing about mood elevation is gratitude. So if anybody's listening and they want to kind of do something that can really transform the way that they feel, I like to tell my clients to have a jar every single day, write three things that they found grateful for and one thing that there's been to struggle and how they reframe that and made it something that they could learn. That way you pop it in your little jar and at the end of the year you can kind of look back and go, actually there are so many little tiny things to be grateful for, from the food I eat to the people I share my life with, to the house that I live in, you know, to the experiences I have walking down the street where a stranger smiles at me.
Yeah.
Actually, they're all mood elevators and they can really transform the way that you experience your world.
Yeah.
Amazing. Emma, Kenny, thanks so much for being on Luke and Lucy FM. You've put us in good moods for at least a few hours now. Thanks a lot, Emma.
Thank you.
Take care, sweetheart. Bye.
Oh, I love Emma Kenny.
Yeah, she was great, right?
She's so lovely.
She's
put
great.
Me in a really good mood.
Yeah, well, good then. I'm glad. I mean, she said some nice things about me. Although I'm still seething about that underground guy.
Oh,
if you're listening right now, hope you don't fall in front of an underground tube. That'd be terrible. Lucy, do you want to do some final words then?
I just think you do have to be an optimist, don't you, at the end of the day? I've going to be in a good mood for the rest of the day now.
It'll last 2 hours.
I don't care. If anyone's rude to me, they can... But I do think it's true. It's about them. It's not about you. If they're the rude people, there's something going on in their lives that's not good.
Yeah, or they're just frankly really damn rude. Please don't be rude. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Just search Luke and Lucy FM on iTunes. All previous episodes on the audioboom.com/Luke and Lucy FM.
Please put us in good moods,
or at least put me in a good mood.
I hope we put you in a good mood.
Yes, and if we do, tweet us at Luke and Lucy FM. We will catch you next week for episode 56. Thanks very much. Lucy's off to skip out to the studio now.
You've just listened to Luke and Lucy FM. Why not listen to it all over again? Oh, and please, leave us a review on iTunes. Pretty please.
Luke and Lucy FM is part of Podnose, the UK's leading independent entertainment podcasting network. Come visit us at www.podnose.com. That's PODNOSE.com.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.